think I threw them off. I got thrown off. I look at the wait a minute. We're missing a verse. There's something going on.
That's all right.
Amen. But he kept us going. I was like, Lord, we're missing a verse. I'm somewhere off somewhere. So, amen. Awesome, guys. We're going to be over in, Luke. But we're actually going to be, Luke. Luke chapter 5. I was excited the campus all got together. Loved all the pictures they shared and everything. I tell them that's important. Just encouraging to see what God is doing in our little small churches. I got a text from Stan the man, the one in RV that came in RV with his wife. Was it Stan? Stan the man. Yeah, he sent me that, and he was encouraged just by our small group and what we're doing and everything. Just said, man, just had a great time stopping through. They really loved it. Was super, super encouraged. And I thought, wow, that's amen. There's a purpose. There's a purpose for us being here. Sometimes we may feel like, but there's a purpose for our being here. Rich was sharing with me this morning, you know, he said, man, you know, you're a little older than I ain't you. Spiritual, I said, yeah, I'm getting up there in age and spiritually, you know, getting a little older here. But Rich said, you know, there's all pillars in here, all pillars of the church. I said, amen. And the whole time when Rich was leading, so I was looking like, man, that's great, all pillars. You know, because in the fall, all the babies going to be back up in here. And the pillars going to have to go to work, man. But it's going to be great to have all the young people back up in here. And God, they're going to fill a lot of seats. I thought, man. But it's a joy. It's a joy to see the work that the Lord is doing through us. It's a joy to see all the effort that we're putting in. And I think that I was discussing with Richard, I think last Sunday we were talking about, I said, you know, football's coming around. We got to figure out, you know, two campuses now, you know, the tailgate, two campuses, and just more activities are coming in. And I'm thinking, we're getting busier and busier in the fall. Mm-hmm. Fall is just getting busy for us. It's a very busy time. The spring can be busy, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing. This keeps us up, keeps us activity, help us to go places we've never been before. That's not only places in the city, but just really emotionally, spiritually, feeling like now I'm in a whole new place, meeting a whole new different set of people, creating whole new relationships, and I just really think it's great. I was also excited that the Cold Banks gave to the Mustard Seed program. I don't know how much they gave, but they wanted to give to the campus thing. They were so fired up about their son connecting and riding up there. They're like, hey, we want to give to the campus thing. Where do we go? And I'm like, hey, go to the website. This is what you do and everything. So
that's awesome.
It was great. So we're just having impact everywhere and everything that we do. We're impacting people far and near. And I think it's so encouraging. This fall, we're going to have, there's a purpose this fall. We're going to have quite a few guest speakers because it just hadn't panned out over the summer. This wasn't God's time. But Monica Miguel Gutierrez, et cetera, Gutierrez, yeah. They're going to end up coming in the fall. I think Davis is going to end up coming in the fall, too. Have the Hermans in the fall. So we're going to have a busy, quite a, and I think it's good and healthy to have several different people come in, speak, and encourage the church to spend time. So we're going to have a very, very busy fall. So get ready for an exciting time, a great time. Food, fun, family, and laughter, and just growing and learning. And on top of that, we're getting ready for next year for the World Discipleship Summit.
That's right.
Another trip, man, another drive. That may be a little longer, I think it is. I'm determined to fly that one. I just don't know if I'm doing that drive or not. But it's going to be a great time just to get away and fellowship with who knows how many disciples there. And not that you'll get to see all of them, but you'll get to see all of them in one space in a big old coliseum. But it's going to be great. And so just there's a lot of purpose things that have a lot of purpose in our life, a lot of events that are coming up. And speaking of that, we're over in Luke chapter 5. Just, you know, everything Jesus did, there was a purpose for it. He had a reason for it. And, of course, the ultimate reason was to impact people's lives, to encourage people, to build people up, to remind them of their importance to God. And in God's great vision to see all of his children, everyone saved, everyone inspired. You know, we as people, we have our ways. We're fickle. We're funny. Sometimes we see things alike. Sometimes we see things different. Sometimes I get what you get. Sometimes I just don't get it. It has developed several different statements or quotes like, hey, we can agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to grab hold of that. What do you mean we got to agree to disagree? Why can't we just agree to agree? Why are we agreeing to disagree? You know, and sometimes when people say it, they said it was like, well, I'm standing my stance, so that's where we agree at. You know, we just don't see things eye to eye. But there is a purpose for everything in life. And one of the things we're going to talk about over in chapter 5 of Luke, verse 12, we're going to talk about the man with leprosy. A great foundational story. There's a lot of things that happen in that. Depending on which gospel you read it in, it's all the same. But each gospel highlights just a little bit more of what was going on from the different perspective. Of course, you know, Luke was a doctor. His information is secondhand. It's not firsthand. It's secondhand. But amen, God put Luke in a position to translate information that we needed to see and hear so that we could go on to be great examples of following Jesus. And that's our purpose, is to understand how to follow Jesus and be like Jesus. And in verse 12 it says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I love his confidence. Two things he points, he says, if you're willing to do this for me, I know that you have the authority and the ability to clean me up, to make me right, to make me better. What a great way to approach God in prayer when you're looking for something from God, or you need God to move on your behalf. You got to have the idea in your heart and your mind so that I know he can, but man, you know, are you willing to make this happen for me? Just got to approach God with confidence. In verse 13, it says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Amen. I want to stop right there. There's a purpose here. Several things. So he comes and says, Jesus, if you are willing to do this for me, I know that you can make me better. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, I'm willing. That's always good when somebody's willing to do something for you. You ask something for them. They're like, you know, because you're not sure if they're going to say it or not. But, you know, when they're like, you're willing to do it, it builds up your spirit. It makes you excited. You're happy. But as he does it for him, Jesus says, now, here's a catch. Don't go back and tell nobody. But I need you to go see the priest. Okay, as Moses commanded. I love Jesus is honoring Old Testament commandments. He said, go see the priest as Moses commandment. Okay, so they can see, he said, this is a testimony to them. Jesus was always thinking about somebody else. One of the purposes here that I noticed was that with Jesus was, Jesus says, don't tell nobody. Sometimes when we do good, we want everybody to know. Mm-hmm. When I did it, I want them to know it was me who did it. That it was my hand in this. That I orchestrated this. But Jesus said, no, don't tell nobody. But in keeping with the law now, you need to go do this, okay? You know, a lot of times when we do good, we don't have to shout it from the mountaintop. You know that, don't you? Mm-hmm. We don't always have to say, hey, look at me. I'm the one that made this happen. We don't have to. Mm-hmm. Because when you do good to somebody else, or you help somebody else get better, or you build somebody else up, guess what they're going to do? They're going to talk about it anyway, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're going to be given the opportunity to share. Wait a minute. I remember you had leprosy. What happened? What changed? You know, I ran into Jesus, and I asked Jesus, if you're willing, I know you can do this. And guess what Jesus did? What did he do? He was willing. He cleaned me up. You know, your good deeds don't always have to be shared by you or expressed by you or shout to the mountaintop by you. If you do good by people and you always have other people's interests at heart, people will share about you. Mm-hmm. They will just do that. They will spread the word of the good that you are doing. The good that you are willing to do, the good that you are capable of doing. They would do that. You don't always have to share. There's a purpose for doing good. And the purpose for doing good is not always you letting people know, I'm a good person. That's not always the purpose. Purpose for doing good is to help build others up. Going further in verse 15, he says, yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. Wow. It don't take long for good news to travel about you if you're doing good. If you're doing great in the community. If you're doing great in your neighborhood. If you're doing great in your job, your work. If you just stop to do something. It doesn't take long for good news about you to spread. You don't have to work real hard to spread it yourself. All you got to do is be a person. I'm going to be like Christ. What was Jesus? Jesus like, I'm willing to help whoever wants to be helped. Last week we talked about what? Your faith plus Jesus' power will allow you to see things that you've never seen before. Do you know that still applies today? That your faith guess what? Good deeds, guess what? Well, Jesus' power will allow you to see things that you've never seen before. That people will begin to come to you and want to know, can you help them? Can you impact them? Hey, can I sit down and talk to you? Hey, I need some advice in my life. You don't always have to shout it to the mountaintop. Being like Jesus is about being a servant. A heart willing to serve those who won't help. A heart willing to help those who need help. A heart willing to give to those who want to be given to. You know, my job, I travel, I see a lot of things. And see a lot of people. And, you know, one of the things that always get me, just time crunch, just seem like I was going. Sometimes I see people broken down on the side of the road. For whatever reason, I just don't know. But I'm one of the people, like, I just want to stop and help everybody. I just want to stop and help them because, like, Lord, and I always pray, like, Lord, please let them get that fixed. Let them get to where they need to get to, God. Let them, Lord, not be stuck out here. It's hot. It's just hot out here in Mississippi, you know. And I always have a heart, like, I just want to pull over and help somebody sometime. But I come to find out that I can't help everybody all the time. I just can't. Sometimes you feel guilty and feel like, oh, I should have helped them. And you get to, I don't know if you're like me, you get to thinking crazy, like, if I would help them, the Lord would have blessed me this way. Well, like, it don't work like that. You can't help everybody. You can't bless everybody with your presence. It's not meant for you to be in everybody's life at that particular and right time. But when that time does come, God is calling you to be like Christ. Do some good. Do some good. There is good that needs to be done in people's life, and those people will be brought to your life so that you can help them, so that you can be the good news in their life. And when you are the good news in their life, word will spread about you, and people will come and seek you out, and they will want to know who you are and want to know what you know and how you do what you do and how can you help them. That's what will happen.
That's right.
And be like Jesus, too. Sometimes we just need to withdraw to a lonely place and pray. Mm-hmm. Just need to pray. It ain't always about pulling off a miracle or doing some great stuff. Going a little further, so we talk about the man with the leprosy. We talk about it's good to do good when you're able to do good. It's good to do good when you're able to do good. The next one talks about one day Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law was sitting there. It says they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Man, Jesus is very busy here. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Man, they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." You know, one purpose thing is here is just sometimes just to be simple and not complicated things. I was talking to a brother yesterday, and we were talking about one of the things that we struggle and we hate in churches, politics. Politics. There's politics in everything you do. Because sometimes we can be just too a little bit political in things that we do. Jesus here, there's a little politicking going on here. They didn't like the fact that Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And Jesus come out and say, "So, what you want me to say? Get up, take your mat, and go home? Is that better? I mean, which way do you want it? How you want me to do?" Eventually, Jesus ended up saying, "Look, get up, take your mat, and go home." The crazy thing, or the good thing about this is, when Jesus said this, guess what? They had been sitting there for hours listening to a good lesson from Jesus. He got lowered down, got his sins forgiven, got up, he's healed, he go home. Didn't hear that one message. He's gone home. Sometimes politically, we can really hurt ourselves. We can really take our own blessings away because we want it to be done politically correct, the right way. Well, I believe it needs to be politically done this way, according to this stance. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Jesus, like, this man is sick. He's ill. He needs help. Why are we going through all this procedure? You know, we're in a world now where to get a lot of help, you got to go through a lot of paperwork. It's all made up by man. And I understand what man may have thought to say, well, this is to do things the right way. But now it's become so bogged down in what we call red tape stuff. Half the time, you don't get nothing done. You're not done. This brother's talking to me and getting a little advice. And so here's some, I'm going to share some with you guys. It's being political. So a brother preached a lesson, and I've heard this so many years, and it's, you know, the Bible, I'm going to tell you, the Bible's wonderful. The Bible's wonderful. I always say, know the word, and you'll be all right. So he preached a message about you know, other people being saved outside church. Okay, amen, I get that. Okay, that, you know, and who are we to question all that? I say, okay, I get that. I get that. And the other brother, he said, man, that this is dangerous teaching. I said, get that. So here's what I said to him. I said, well, this is what the Bible said. This is why I can tell you what Jesus said. To cut through all that political stuff you guys are dealing with. The last time I read the Great Commission, it never told me to go seek and save the saved. And just then, I didn't see it in Scripture nowhere. But it did say, go seek and save who?
Lost.
I said, so brother, the view, the position that Jesus put me in was, every time I go out in here, I need to view everybody as being lost until otherwise proven different. Mm-hmm. That's what Scripture tells me.
Yep.
That, I mean, if they save, I don't know until we sit and have a conversation. I said, also, to get away, just on the political, is that, so say they say, they come to church. Okay, amen. They need to know how to lead people to Christ, don't they? Now, guess what? If you have a certain skill set, you go to a job, and you go to a new company, you know, she worked up here, so-and-so did like this. But the company said, yeah, that's great, but we do have certain rules. You need to learn to do things, what, our way. You just don't come in because you have all these years and years of skill set thing. I'm going to come in, I'm going to do, that's great, but you need to do things our way. In order to do that, you have to be taught and learn. One of the purpose things of Jesus is you got to be careful to stay out of politics. Mm-hmm. And you got to know how to navigate through politics and political stuff. And the only way you're going to know how to do that is what? Know your Bible. Goodness. Anybody can have a great conversation and try to sway you and persuade you. They can be having all this charisma and be like, oh, yeah. You be like, man, they had a good point. That was a good point. But at the end of the day, does their point carry weight with the Bible? That's it. The Pharisees were being all political, all self-righteous. He's blasphemy. How dare he says that? You can't say that. You can't do that. They didn't care whether or not that paralyzed man was healed or not. Did you notice that? They didn't care. Can you imagine that? They don't care whether or not you healed, you feel better, you get prayed. Oh, he should not be doing that. That's not the way you heal somebody. Look, dude, I'm walking. I'm healed. Yeah. Forget all the politics. Forget being political. I'm healed. Everybody else is being amazed at what God is doing through Christ. Are you amazed? Or are you being political? Ooh. You ask yourself, are you amazed? Or are you being political? Other people's like, this is remarkable. What's stunning? The man who was paralyzed, the man who was healed, he went home praising God. Amen. Thank you, God. That was the last thing on the Pharisee's mind, wasn't it? Nah, you shouldn't have did it that way. Jesus gave him option. You want me to say it this way? They just didn't care. You just shouldn't have never did it. Wow. You know, when we become political, nobody gets a blessing.
That's right.
Is this true? When you become very political and how you want to handle procedures in God's kingdom and how you want to handle the word to fit according to the way you believe it should work and how it should work, nobody gets a blessing. Everybody loses. Even you, the one trying to be so political and self-righteous. Everybody loses. Even when Jesus says you can come at this thing from different angles and you're just too prideful, too blind, and too political to see, everybody loses. Yeah. So we know there's good to be done, and we know that we need to do good, but we don't need to shout and express and look at all the good I've done. Hey, look, let your actions and your deeds speak for itself. Mm-hmm. We know that, guess what? We got to be careful not to be political, even within the church. And we can be so political no matter where we go. And I'm going to tell you, a long time ago, they've changed it. You know, you ever had it where you wished you would have took a picture of something? Like, I wish I would have got a copy of that where it was like that. Long ago, I remember, I think in the mid-90s, when I used to look up the word politics in the dictionary, the definition would be opinions. Now you look it up, oh man, it's like government, it's like a whole bunch of paragraphs. But it's what politics is, it's opinions. And you know, and it's great to have your opinion heard, but when your opinion gets in the way of God's word, or it starts to supersede God's word, there's a problem. God can't work in your life when your opinions becomes your doctrine and not God's word. Politics, got to be careful with it in the church. Finally, guys, this last one I thought was cool, and just having a great time. You know, sometimes you just read through the gospel and you just learn so much. You're like, goodness, so much over and over. I never forget Ron Clendenin. John MacArthur. He says, that brother says, I've been reading the Bible for so many years, and he says, I still haven't found my way out of certain gospels. He says, just, it's so much, it's infinite learning, so rich. Yeah. But in verse 27, it says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up. Left everything and followed him. That's amazing. That's amazing, the impact Jesus had. He just says, look, follow me. Two words, follow me. And you just leave everything and follow him. Now, of course, we know there's some things that precede this where Jesus has been doing a lot of work, but can you imagine? Let's just say Jesus has been around preaching for like, and really even what 3 years for this gospel? So let's just think. We'll give it a year. You hear about all the great things Jesus is doing. And he comes across you and he says, hey, follow me. Man, it takes great conviction and great heart to just say, I'm leaving it all. Mm-hmm. He's only been around doing this gospel for a year. And you're just like, okay, I'm going. You know, because right now he's choosing all his disciples to really follow him. Follow me. That's something you can ask in your heart. Would I just get up and leave everything? My profession, all the schooling I put into it, all the years of work I put into everything. Would I literally just get up and drop everything and follow him? Because for us, what we're worried about, Jesus, you know, the rent due next week. You know, the car note, Jesus, the insurance, you know. We worry about all these things that are due. And yet Jesus is saying, follow me. And of course, later on in the gospel, he talks about, you know what, birds and the nest don't have this and foxes have, oh. He tells you, like, don't worry about that stuff. Just follow me. I got you. It's really about abandoning your comfort zone.
That's right.
And we have great comfort zone. Guess what? It's raining today. Man, some of us love a good rainy day. If it's cold and rainy, we love a good bowl of chili. Mm-hmm. Hot potato soup. You know what I'm saying? There's just certain things like, it's Sunday. It's a rest day. I ain't doing nothing. We're just talking about all the comfort of how I'm going to get super comfy and not move. And God forbid, if you ring my phone, I may not answer. It doesn't mean I don't love you. Just love. It's Sunday. I'm just not going to do nothing. Yes, we love being comfortable. But Jesus says, come follow me. I can't guarantee you'll be comfort or have comfortability, but Jesus is like, guess what? But I can guarantee you this. I will show you something that you've never seen before, and I will show you the adventure of a lifetime. He picks up in verse 20, says, verse 29, he says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors, not regular people, a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, is it not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, family, God, there's a purpose for our discipleship, and we're pillars in the church and everything. There's a purpose to what we do. We're not looking for the healthy. We're looking for the sick. And there's a lot of sick people in this world. A lot of people who are sick and don't know they're sick. They think they're fine. They're walking around like we're good to go. And they're sick as all get out. But guess who Jesus spent his time with? The unhealthy, the ill, the sick, the paralyzed, the lame, the blind. And I'm not talking about flesh-wise. I'm talking about there people spiritually blind in the world. That's who Jesus spent his time with. The lame. They don't have a clue. The paralyzed. They don't have a clue. They are spiritually paralyzed. They don't even know it. Spiritually paralyzed. That's who Jesus spent his time with. Of course, the politics follow him. Why is he sitting with those people? He should be sitting with us. Those who have already arrived. We are there. Why is he not with us? Jesus is like, I don't need to be sitting with those who claim that they're healthy and healed. I'm after the sick. The ones that you're supposed to be helping. The ones that you're supposed to be spending time with. But you're too busy spending the majority of your time with what? The healthy people. The church people. You need to be spending time with the sick, the lost. They're the ones that need this. They need it bad. In our world, we can see it. In our friends, we can see it. In our family, we can see it. I got a family member. I prayed for. I think last week, just really started praying for her because situation is changing in the dynamics of our family. She's my cousin. Dynamics of family. That her stepdad passed away. Her mom's in the hospital, but they had a house. The house was bought by the son. Son lives in L.A. He's doing good. He plays in a gospel group. Plays drums and stuff. He's making a lot of money. He does good, but he's like, mama's no longer there. Stepdad's gone, and he's like, you know what? Now let's go back. And there's been turmoil going on before this, but he's like, I'm letting the house, I'm letting everything go back. And I thought, man, there's just people who need help. Now, we'd be family, but we'd be like, you know what? It'll make no sense. You let it go back. She learned a lesson. God knows. She's 50-something. I'm like, she's never really hard to work the day in her life. It's kind of going back and forth. And reality is about to hit again. And I remember telling my mom, I tell my kids, I say, you know what? They got to get past that 2-year mark. I call it the 2-year mark. Because when you've never really held a job a long time, sometimes you never held a job longer than 2 years. And if you can get past that 2-year mark, it's hard. You get that itch where you want to move and go do something. And you're like, I said, they can make it past that 2-year mark. They'll be okay. I said, they're going to have to fight it. They're going to have to fight that itch to quit. But I said, she can make it. I said, but maybe this is what's going to need to happen. You know, that she needs to get to make things happen. But at the same time, I thought, man, she needs somebody in her life. Mm-hmm. Somebody up there where she's at. Somebody up there. And it's going to be a fight with her. It's going to be a fight. Not every sinner you sit with is going to be like, hey, man, Jesus is here. Jesus sent you, and I'm ready. Where's the water? Sinner's going to fight you. That's all. Sinner's going to fight you. I don't know why it is, but we like to fight, stay in the mud and the dirt. Don't like to be clean. You ever seen a little kid, hate to take a bath? They running away. Just like us, we're running away from being clean. Jesus, instead of trying to clean, I'm going to run. Cry to get in that water and everything. Why? Sinners going to fight us, guys. But Jesus is bigger than any sinner that we may come across.
Sure.
Jesus is bigger than any sinner who may feel like, you don't understand, the dirt feels good. Why can't we just, why don't you come and wallow in the dirt with me? Jesus is bigger than that. And what we got to understand is that Jesus is like, man, I'm here to help the sick. There are just too many sick people. Too many. And what's too many? One too many.
That's right.
One too many. God had a purpose in all three of these things that is shown in the Bible. God said, do good. Because you're capable of doing good. But you don't have to boast about it. Don't worry about it. Your work and your deed will precede you. People will let people know you need to see so-and-so. Charisse, my lovely wife. So we went down to Belhaven, talked to them. I fall more in love with that campus. Like, God, I like these people here. Hey, y'all just hired me. How about that? But we went down there to Human Resource, and, you know, we're doing the FMLA. And so one day they said, well, let's do this. You know, let's. I'm going to see you got another pack, another one of these things. Let's take and give and fill out another one and everything. You know, it only last 12 weeks, but they said, go get another one. Plus, I'm seeing you have some long-term disability stuff because we offer it to her free of charge. That's what our campus does. I was like, wow. And then I was trying to talk to the payroll lady. We were trying to figure things out. And she says, oh, no, she's good to September. Plus, also,
We already got her contract already printed out for her renewal. We're expecting her to come back. They talk highly about Sharice. They talk highly about Sharice. It's just the work she puts in. It has preceded her. And they're bending over backwards to extend whatever they can extend for her to get back there. Your good deeds, whether it's in work, whether it's helping somebody, it will go ahead of you. And when it's time for it to come back to you, you was here. I was shocked. I was stunned. Listening to all. I was like, this is just amazing. You got another contract for it already to be signed there. You waiting on her contract printed out. It's like, wow. You doing long term for work? Does she have to pay it? No penny. We offer it to her free. Wow. You gonna send another FMLA packet out for it to do again for another 4 weeks? I just blown. Blown. The FMLA protects your job. I'm blown. Good deeds. You don't have to shout it. You don't have to shout it. It will show up when you least expect it. Politics. Helping people is not about politics. Yeah, we gotta have rules and regulations in place. But we don't need to get so political to where, well, if we deal with where we need to do it this way so I feel good about it. Or we need to do it this way, I feel good about it. As Minister, I told the brother, just about doing the right thing. Just need to be hard to do the right thing. Follow the rules, regulations, but let's do it right. If there's a need that needs to be met, let's meet it. Jesus said, your sin's forgiven, or get your mat up, get up, take your mat, and go. I don't care how you want it. The point Jesus said is, we want this man to be healed. Let's be that way. We want to see people healed. We want to see people healed and up. And finally, spend time with sinners.
That's right.
They need you, doctors. You're all doctors in here. That's right. Jesus is a great physician. You can call yourself nurse practitioners of the gospel. How about that? Spend some time with some sinners. Give them some diagnosis. All you can do is prescribe the medicine. It's up to them whether or not they're going to take it or not. Is that not true? Doctor prescribing lots of medicine, don't it? It's up to us whether or not we take it or not. If we don't take it, guess what? We'll be in pain, we'll be sick, we'll be hurt. But if you take it, I may feel a little better. That's it. There's a purpose for everything we do. Let's embrace those purpose and let's impact people's lives. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome.